Welcome back, or welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I've been at work at this for a few hours now. The payday lending conflict is heating up again in the Ohio General Assembly. In 2008, voters approved a law that capped payday interest rates at 28%, down from the previous 391% limit. That shut down a third of the payday lenders in Ohio, a third or a half, depending on who you talk to. Hopefully, I'll know a little bit better after this interview. Interestingly, state lawmakers advised the industry that instead to turn to the Small Loan Act and the Mortgage Act to begin charging check cashing fees, origination fees, and credit check fees. This was, like I said, this came from advice from lawmakers. Since then, House Bill 209 has been introduced, I think last June, among other things. It would ban such fees for short-term loans. And joining me in the first segment to talk about the bill and its progress in the Ohio House is sponsor Matt Lundy. He's a state representative from Elyria. Last we checked, his bill was stalled in the Ohio House Financial Institutions, Real Estate, and Securities Committee. And also with us is Jamie Fulmer. He is the spokesman for Advance America. That's a cash advance or company, right, Jamie?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and Representative Lundy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Later on, Legal Aid Society of Greater Cincinnati Consumer Housing Managing Attorney Nick DiNardo will be joining us from his office to continue the discussion. I guess, Representative Lundy, why don't you give us a short rundown on what your bill would do?
Well, our bill, we believe, will hold the industry to being more consumer friendly than they currently are. They have decided to not operate under the spirit of the law and are now operating under the Small Loan Act and the Mortgage Loan Act. And so we're going to continue to take a look at ways in which we can require them to operate under those loan programs, since that's where they've decided to shift their business model to, pretty similar to what they've done recently in South Carolina, shifting to other programs. So this is an ongoing issue with the industry and states. But the bill is going to certainly take away the ability for them to be able to charge a check cashing fee. Now when a consumer comes in, unlike before, when they could actually receive the money, now they're actually charged a check cashing fee on their very own check. I know that sounds odd to your listeners, but that's actually the way that the industry currently operates. We're currently taking a look at some fair debt collection practices. We also want to make sure there's enforcement, because in a number of states, the industry has attempted to be evasive of the law, and we want to make sure that enforcement authority is actually there. At the same time, we also want to make sure that consumers, when they come in the door, are treated well. But and for those who are in the military, we want to make sure that the industry is not pursuing them overseas or going to their commanding officers in some type of effort to embarrass them into to making a payment. So that's kind of a brief overview.
Okay. And Jamie Fulmer, I'm accurate in pointing out that the decision by the industry to shift to those different laws, to operate under different laws and be licensed differently, was actually at the suggestion of state lawmakers.
Sure, that's exactly right. We were directed by many lawmakers to, instead of operating under the Payday Loan Act that had been revised under House Bill 545, to operate under other existing statutes in Ohio. And it was because there was a recognition that House Bill 545 was an elimination of the industry. It was a job killer. While it addressed the issue of payday loans specifically, House Bill 545 did absolutely nothing to eliminate the consumer's need for short-term lending products. And as a result, all it did was force about 800 storefront lenders to close, and including 60 of our own company's storefronts, and put about 2,500 folks out of work. And then it drives consumers to less regulated, higher-cost options. Also incurs about $69 million in lost revenue in Ohio. So I think when I hear Representative Lundy talk about what his bill does, we see it differently. What his bill is trying to do is is what he wanted to do and others wanted to do with House Bill 545, and that is eliminate the industry altogether because, you know, right now, you know, House Bill 545 remains intact, but you don't have a single company making a loan under its provisions, you know, because it does not allow any viable business to sustain operations by charging simply 28% for a loan that would only allow them to get about 7.5 cents per day per $100 borrowed. You can't meet any of your basic costs. You can't pay your employees. You can't pay your rent or any of your utility bills at that rate. And again, it's about satisfying the needs and demands of consumers. And the products and services that we offer in Ohio, you know, we offer them a competitively priced product that consumers all across the state use responsibly. They're overwhelmingly satisfied with it, and they understand that the options that we offer them are oftentimes less expensive than the other options that are available to them.
And if I could, mm-hmm. I'd like to correct his assertion that lawmakers with a broad brush had recommended that they go into these other loan programs. You know, that's simply not true. When we were debating this issue in committee, when we were debating this issue on the floor, when we were signing the bill, never once did someone say, well, you know, we're kind of wasting our time here today passing this, guys, because we really want them to use these other programs. So he may have had that conversation behind closed doors with someone, but I can tell you that is not the position
of
my colleagues or the legislature, and that's just not an accurate portrayal of it. Also, you know, when you talk about the business needing to make money, the question that I continue to struggle with is just what does the industry need to make per loan? And what does the industry consider to be a reasonable APR? They're indicating that we're trying to put them out of business, yet every time I ask the question as to what you need to make per loan, what do you deem to be a reasonable APR for consumers, I never seem to get an answer to that. So maybe I'll get that today.
What is
Sure. And I tell you, I mean, there are several quotes, and I can point them to you that where members of the legislature in Ohio talked about operating under the small loan.
Yeah, that's been established. I think that what Representative Lundy is saying is not everybody was there in that conversation, that we shouldn't generalize about the Ohio General Assembly, right, Representative?
That is correct. See, the thing that constantly goes on in this debate on this topic is that the industry either wants to, you know, divert attention one way or the other, whether it's to what's going on in the banking industry or whatever. I think we really need to focus here today on this industry. And as I said before, I'd really like to know what the industry needs to make per loan and also what the industry deems to be a reasonable APR for consumers to pay.
Is 391% the only way to go, Jamie, or is there some kind of compromise?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, I think it's easy to say that we're going to address this issue in a vacuum and not consider any of the other issues and the other forces at play here. And I think when you're trying to offer consumers a short-term loan product, I think you have to consider all the elements of that marketplace so that you can make sure that you offer consumers a competitively priced product in the marketplace. When, you know, you look at what consumers pay, they don't pay an APR. They reach into their pocket and they take money out of their pocket and they pay for any type of loan product or any type of fee-based product they get from other large financial institutions. So they're less interested. This is what they tell us. They're less interested in, you know, some obscure APR that can vary based on paying it one day early, one day late, and more interested in how much it's going to cost them and their families. And so, you know, the consumer who uses our product is despite what many critics would paint them as, are you know, pretty savvy about their financial options, and they carefully evaluate all the options available to them. And in many cases, our product is the less expensive option. So, you know, to simply say that we need to have an APR to prevent consumers from paying too much of an APR, well, they don't pay an APR. They reach into their pocket and they pay dollars and cents based on what they have borrowed.
And
Representative
Lundy,
I
the How often during the course of a year should a consumer come in the door to actually take out a payday loan? What he doesn't want to tell you is their model is based upon that consumer returning 6 to 12
I want to talk about
year.
The legislation that's pending in the House right now. What's the holdup? If the legislature put 545 on the ballot, it was overwhelmingly passed by the voters. Why isn't the legislature stepping up and taking care of this now? It's in front of them again, essentially, isn't it? What's the holdup?
Well, basically, we are attempting to close loopholes because the industry has found many ways to go around the law.
Well, why isn't everybody in agreement about closing the loopholes? Because it's been you introduced it way back in June.
Every time that we think that we've closed the loophole, yet another one surfaces. I think as we recently saw in South Carolina, the ink had barely dried on the new law that was passed there, I believe, February 1st, and within a matter of days, the industry was finding another way to work its way around the law. So that's been the primary reason for it, is because we've been trying to make sure that we close up all the loopholes and that we have the right powers in place so that we can actually enforce the bill.
What sort of feedback are you getting from the Democratic Black Caucus on this? They're said to oppose further restrictions. They don't want the bill passed as it stands.
You know, you would probably have to speak directly with them
so
that they can tell you their own personal opinions.
Have you heard from them?
I think what they've indicated to me is that they want to make sure, obviously, that consumers are being treated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, they realize that this is a resource that's quite often used in many of the communities that they represent.
Why, if voters approved it at the polls, is this not a no-brainer for the Ohio General Assembly?
Well, it should be a no-brainer for the industry. The industry should understand what the spirit of the law was and how Ohio consumers felt about the industry and how they wanted the industry to operate. Because the industry chose to be evasive, that's why we're back at the table trying to close up all the many loopholes.
Is there a compromise? What sort of schedule are you on now, Representative Lundy?
Well, we hope to have something in committee here within the next 2 weeks, and at that time to have it voted out of committee and brought to the floor.
Before
this would be the House,
yeah. Right? In the House, but I mean before what? By this spring or?
I would anticipate that we're going to see something transpire with this or see action on this during the next month.
Is there a similar bill pending in the Senate, or is it just the House bill?
No, there's not a similar bill pending in the Senate at all. You know, I know there was some early discussion. The Senate wanted to take a look at it. I understand, though, that there was a Senate member or two who was interested in trying to possibly leave a check cashing option in there. I just don't consider the check cashing option to be certainly anything that's viable or fair for consumers.
There's a new payday loan regulations in South Carolina. I think you mentioned that earlier. It raises the loan limit. It limits outstanding loans to one at a time. There's a waiting period, a two-day cooling off period. Are those sorts of things included in your bill as well?
As far as the limitation on the number of loans per year, no, we do not have a limitation on the number of loans per year. So that is that's not the case with this. Obviously, I've tried to give you as many specifics as possible, but I won't be giving necessarily all the details. I don't quite have the multi-million dollar PR machine that the industry does. So when we're ready to unveil that, we'll be doing that in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, Representative Lundy, thanks for joining us today.
Sure.
I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to take a little longer break than usual, and then we'll be back on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Catch Art Scene, Columbus's monthly art show, anytime online at wosu.org/artscene. On this month's show, see an exclusive interview with pianist Andre Watts and his work with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. Go behind the scenes of a new exhibit at the OSU Urban Arts Space, showcasing 50 of the most intricate and colorful penny scales. And find out about a new film series at the Wexner Center about efficiency in the food industry. Art Scene gives you a firsthand look at the arts in action in Columbus, online at wosu.org/artscene.
On the next Fresh Air, shedding light on the shadowy connections between the pharmaceutical industry and the government during recent efforts to enact health care reform. we'll talk with Paul Blumenthal. Also, chances are you've never heard of William Stuart Halsted, but if you've ever had surgery, you could say he's affected your life. Dr. Gerald Imber explains. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Fresh Air is coming up today at noon here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Chance of showers clearing up today, then occasional drizzle this afternoon. Cloudy with a high near 39. Right now it's 39 degrees with a little bit of fog and mist from that leftover rain this morning. Tonight, a slight chance of rain and snow showers, and then a slight chance of snow showers carrying on after midnight, low around 28. Tomorrow, chance of snow showers mainly in the afternoon, cloudy with a high near 35. And Wednesday, snow showers are likely again in the afternoon with a high near 35. Corporate partners help provide support for WOSU 820, and your business can join them and reach an educated, engaged, and appreciative audience every day. Be associated with a with trusted local national source for accurate news coverage. For more information, contact Christine Shadich at 247-4469. And thanks for supporting WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Still with me, Jamie Fulmer. He is a public affairs director for Advance America, Cash Advance Business. Thank you, Jamie, again for joining us today.
Thank you, Ann.
And now on the line is Nick DiNardo. He's Legal Aid Society's with the Legal Aid Society in Cincinnati. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Nick, you represent a lot of folks that are struggling with these sorts of loans that are criticized by people who oppose the payday lending industry.
I do. I see these people every day. I think the real issue here is that this type of loan requires people to continue to come back and take it out. And the reason why that is because it's a single payment loan. So in 2 weeks, you come back with your paycheck, and generally that loan's going to take up either all or a sizable portion of your paycheck. And so what it forces you to do is take out a new loan to cover your expenses going forward. And what I see on a weekly basis are people who come in who are taking out, the same loan every 2 weeks in order to make ends meet after that first emergency situation. So it's not a one-time loan. It ends up being this revolving loan at a ridiculously high interest rate.
But they know that going into it, right?
No. No payday lender that I know of advertises that they will trap you in debt when you first go in and take out your first loan. They market this as a one-time emergency loan. But unfortunately, the way this – it's a defective product. And the way this product is set up is it's going to force you to keep coming back and taking out the same loan over and over again.
You know, some lawmakers are wary of this legislation. They're not sure this is good for the communities that they represent, where there may be a higher percentage than the rest of the state where people use these sorts of loans. In other words, there's a market for them, Nick. How do you address the market and the need on the one side of the coin?
Well, what I think we can do is we could make products available that would take care of these needs and not be predatory the way this product is.
Such as?
Well, I think the easiest thing you can do is to make a loan that requires multiple payments on it so you don't have to pay back the entire loan at once. Give that person, instead of making them pay back the entire $500 or $1,000 2 weeks later, give them four or six payments to make it back. That way it would truly take care of an emergency situation, and it would still make them possible to make their other bills going forward with their pay. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like some of the new regulation in South Carolina. Jamie, what about the South Carolina legislation?
Yes, ma'am, and I'm glad because I'd like to address some of the criticisms of Representative Lundy and when he talks about the South Carolina bill, because I think, critics oftentimes try to make this about the industry, and it really should be about the consumers and the consumers who use this industry. The bill that passed in South Carolina is a very stringent bill and includes some very significant consumer protections, and it's a bill that our company worked very closely with the legislature on and tried to be a constructive partner in those discussions where we could find a balance between the overwhelming majority of customers who use this product responsibly and then also providing additional protections for that very small number of consumers who don't use the product responsibly. And look, like any other credit product out there, whether it's a credit card loan, a home loan, bank overdraft, any other product out there, they are consumers who don't use those financial products responsibly. And so it's important to have protections in place for them. And so, you know, we've been supportive of that. And the South Carolina bill has some strict provisions. It includes a one loan at a time limit. It includes a database to enforce that limit. It includes an extended payment plan that would allow any customer who gets in over their head the opportunity at no additional cost, at no additional fee, at no additional accruing interest to pay off that loan obligation over a longer period of time, up to 4 pay periods. It includes stricter licensing requirement and a $550 loan cap.
Which is an increase.
If the issue is that, you know, this is a bill that could work in Ohio, we'd most definitely be supportive of legislation such as this, because this is balanced legislation that protects the consumer's ability to access the product without taking it away from them. And so, you know, I think that you know, the issue should be about what's available to consumers. I know Representative Lundy only wants to talk about the payday lending product, but if you talk about the payday lending product or the small loan products that we offer to consumers in Ohio, if you talk about those in a vacuum, then you don't address the core need that consumers have for access to small denomination short-term credit during the course of their year.
Okay. Nick, do you have any idea, any sense about how many folks are affected by these, you know, poor decisions they're making about the money that they borrow?
Well, they're not making poor decisions at all. I mean, what's happening here is you have a product that's set up to create this sort of situation. If they wanted to, they could make, loan products that would not trap people in this continuing cycle of debt, but they're making millions of dollars every year doing this.
You mean they could do it without having to have a law? Is what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is, you were saying that this is created by people using this product improperly.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, this is a defective product.
Okay.
There is no proper use for this product, and that's why so many states, including Ohio, including South Carolina, are trying to ban payday loans, because they see how destructive they are. What the industry does is, the industry, you know, tries to get around these laws any way they can. A lot of what was just talked about are included in House Bill 545 under the new Short-Term Lender Act. That the payday lenders have refused to use here in Ohio. Instead, they found a loophole in the Mortgage Loan Act. Now, they've never made a single mortgage loan, but a lot of them are using that license to continue to make these extremely high-cost single-payment loans that are designed to create people, to force them to continue to come back to take out more loans.
What about the spirit of the law, Jamie? Voters pretty overwhelmingly approved 545 in 2008.
Well, there's no question that voters approved House Bill 545, and we've certainly not offered a payday loan under House Bill 545 since its enactment. But again, it doesn't go to the issue that consumers still have needs for access to short-term credit. And so, you know, even though House Bill 545 went into effect, you don't have a single company in Ohio making loans under its provisions, because they can't. They can't sustain a business model. You can't pay your employees. You can't pay your rent. You can't pay to your bills to utilities and others in Ohio and sustain a business model.
Yeah, Nick.
Why can't the payday lenders?
Yes.
You know,
okay.
There's been, Jamie,
I just want to let Nick respond to that.
Well,
Nick.
Yeah, my point is that credit card companies can make money at 28% APR. They can pay their bills and their employees and their utility payments. Why can't the payday lenders?
Well, I mean, to compare a credit card loan or a credit card with a payday loan is a bit misleading for consumers, because first of all, credit cards have a whole host of fees associated with the use of that card. They have accruing interest, they have revolving interest, they have over limit fees, they have expanding balances that can get into the tens of thousands of dollars. We're talking about a $500 loan.
Right.
We're talking about a short-term loan. So if you want to, you know, in one respect, they want to talk about payday loans and the short-term loan products that we offer, and then they want to try to compare them to credit card loans. Well, if you go to your credit card and you don't have the money to pay your balance and you have to use a credit card overdraft fee or a credit card late fee, you know, then you're going to be talking about APRs in the neighborhood of 800 to 1,300%. And that's exactly what the FDIC did in November of 2008 when they took a look and they said, look, we understand that APR is not the appropriate value indicator in
That's
all circumstances for
That's
consumers.
That's not what they said.
And so they said, we need an apples-to-apples comparison. So what they did was they compared the annual percentage rate for many of those other products that Mr. DiNardo is referring to, and you had APRs in the range of 800% to 3,500%. So I think if we want to have a constructive dialogue about what's available to consumers, I think we need to look at everything. But simply to say that payday loan companies that were operating under the payday loan statute are somehow operating under some loophole when they are operating under specific statutes that have been in place for 10, 20, 30 years. They went to their regulator, they got licensed to do so, I think is unfortunate, because again, it doesn't address the core issue, and the core issue is what's best for consumers, and consumers in our view should have access to a whole host of options when they find themselves in need of short-term credit. They should carefully look at all the fees, all the features associated with it, and then make the decision that's best for them. But
okay.
But to simply say that we somehow create the demand for a payday loan product, I think is unfortunate, because I don't think it reflects the needs and the demands that consumers all across Ohio and all across the United States have on a daily basis.
Nick, response, and then I want to take a couple phone calls.
Okay.
Nick.
Well, what I would say is that the need for consumer credit may be there, but this is not a useful product to deal with that need. This is a product that traps people in a cycle of debt. And if they wanted to, they'd come up with other products that were responsible, but they don't, because this is wildly profitable for them. That's the whole issue here. If they cared about consumers, they would try and offer a product that does not trap people in the cycle of debt. I see it every day. People come into my office who've not only been taking out one loan week after week, but have been taking out loans from multiple lenders to pay back. They're getting a loan from one lender to pay back the next. This happens all the time.
Well, let's take some calls.
Sure.
Listeners, I'm going to take one call for and one call against, and that's just the way it's going to go. Even though the 545 passed overwhelmingly, I'll assume it's 50-50 at this point. But I will only take one for and one against. If the phones get loaded up against, as they did the last time we talked about payday lending regulation, I will not take all those calls, so you can just hang up. Let's start with Tom. Tom, you've been waiting for a long time. Thanks for your call.
Yes, good
you
morning.
You are against regulation, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a two-part question for Mr. Fulmer.
One-part question for Mr. Fulmer. Okay.
All righty. We wouldn't be having this conversation if people weren't coming to your stores looking for ways to access credit. Where would your customers turn if your business closed?
Well, I think they would.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom, for the question. I think certainly they would turn to higher cost, less regulated options. You hear all about
what are those options, Jamie? What are you talking about when you say that? Because most people go to you because they don't have alternatives. They don't have access to other sorts of
credit. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think
in
many cases, consumers do have other options and they choose the option that they think is best for them. In some cases, it may be the only option for consumers. But, if you look at the marketplace for a consumer who has a need for a short-term financial help, there are very few loan-based products being offered by banks or credit unions. Despite what you hear, the marketplace doesn't dictate it, because if it was so, the consumers may be willing to turn to those other products. Many of those products carry different restrictions and requirements that make it less attractive for the consumers. You have overdraft protection products offered by banks and financial institutions, which the NSF fee in this country, the average NSF fee charged by a bank is about $32 for each returned item. If you tack on the fee that the merchant that you wrote the check to, you're going to have about a $55 per returned item fee, overdraft protection fee, credit card late fees are exorbitant, paying your rent or your mortgage or your utility bill late, and then having a reconnect fee. So all those options carry a lot of additional costs that place additional burdens on the consumer, plus they can have negative credit consequences. The products and services that we offer to consumers in Ohio and all across the country are as simple and as straightforward and as transparent as financial options are in the marketplace.
Okay.
And they're also extremely cost competitive, and that's just the simple fact of the matter.
Okay.
And that's what consumers who use our products and services every day, who vote with their feet, come into our centers and tell us.
Okay, Nick, you want to respond to that, and we'll take a break, and then we'll take a call from Deborah. Yeah, Nick?
Yeah, a couple of things. They mentioned non-sufficient funds fees. Well, I mean, the payday lending industry, in my experience, has been one of the industries that, for when my clients come in the door, is charging the most non-sufficient funds fees to the clients. I mean, this is an industry that you have to write a check in order to get this loan. And if you don't pay back the loan, they'll deposit that check even when they know there's not enough money in your account to cover it so that you suffer an NSF fee. So them, you know, saying the banks are charging too much money on this, I mean, this is the exact same kind of conduct that they do to force you to repay these loans. In terms of overdraft charges, a lot of those things with credit cards are now being regulated because Congress saw that there was a need to control these costs, that these overdraft charges and over-the-limit charges were too expensive, and now they're being regulated. And in the same way, the state of Ohio has sought to regulate the payday lending industry because they saw that the charges that they were enforcing on the consumers of Ohio were too high.
Jamie, we're going to have to take a quick break. I promise we'll get back with you, and we'll also get back with Deborah. She's waiting to talk. If you would like to speak with us, 614-292-8513, or as usual, you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from Chamber Music Columbus, presenting Irish pianist John O'Connor, interpreter of classic and early romantic music, Saturday, March 6th at 8 p.m. at the Southern Theater. More at kappaandcmcolumbus.org.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Currently it's 39 degrees, a little bit of fog from the morning rain, but tonight cloudy skies with a chance of rain mixing with snow, a low of 28, and tomorrow cloudy with a chance of afternoon showers, high of 35.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Deborah, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting. You want regulation of the payday lending industry.
Yes, I'm hoping that it's going to protect people who get into check cashing and can't get out of it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you have someone from Legal Aid because I have a question for them.
Okay.
I have been working with our church for many, many years, helping people with their finances, and I'm finding that more and more people are getting into check cashing because of most of them are not taking care of their finances wisely. Some of them just either become disabled or they get their jobs outsourced or their bonus was taken away, and they thought that they were going to be able to pay back the check cashing, and when these emergencies come up with being disabled and losing their job or having the bonus that they were going to count on taken away by their company due to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
One person has for over a year been paying back a $500 loan that they took. They cashed a check for $500 every 2 weeks. They're paying $75 back, $150 a month, $1,800 a year. Finally, someone from the church did pay it back for them, and they're paying them back. So I'd like your legal aid representative to tell me. I have gone to these check cashing places a couple of times with them, and it was just they were threatened with garnishment of their checks and going to jail because they cashed a bad check.
Okay.
They lost their job. So is there a way that is there something that these people are not being told by the check cashing places that they can do
to get out of this
cycle
legally?
Well, what I advise all of my clients to do when they come in and say that they're caught in this debt trap of payday loans, what I advise them to do is to immediately stop payment on the check that they gave to that payday lender, to notify the payday lender in writing that they do intend to repay the debt, because unfortunately these loans are legal. They're very damaging, but they're legal. So, and then try and work out a repayment plan with them. What I actually tell them to do is to take cash into the store each month and make sure they get a receipt and then pay the loan back over a couple of months. And the reason why I have to tell them to take cash into the store is because if you call the payday lender and say, I can't afford to pay this back all at once, I want a repayment plan, they'll say no. They'll refuse to negotiate any sort of repayment plan. What I have heard them do is tell you to go to the payday lender down the street, take out a loan from them to pay us back. I mean, we hear that story all the time. So what I try and do is I basically have my clients force the payday lender into a repayment plan over time, and then just tell them, you know, that usually by that point they realize if they take out payday loans again, they're going to end up in this debt trap, and they stop doing it. But that's how I advise clients in that situation.
And I think it's important to point out that the scenario that Mr. DiNardo is painting and the caller had with her church members is not the what we see on a day-to-day basis.
Well, how do we know that? Who keeps track of that kind of thing? And are there any, you know, reliable statistics out there that we can look at?
Well, I think you know, the first reliable statistic is the fact that there is continued strong demand of the product. You know, we have continued satisfaction by the customers who use our product. You know, the interesting thing is in this whole debate that if you ask the customers who use our product, if you talk to customers in our stores and you ask them their satisfaction with our product, they will tell you they appreciate the opportunity to use this product over what the alternatives they have available to them. And I also think it's important for your listeners to know that criminal prosecution, all the things that you hear, that's not our business. That's not what our company does. That's not what any reputable loan company that I know anything about in Ohio or anywhere else does. You know, we offer consumers a product. We, you know, if a customer comes into our center and says, I can't meet this obligation to you, I need additional help, we're going to do everything we can to work with that customer to help them meet their obligation to us in a way that works best for them.
Nick, have you had clients prosecuted for lack of payment?
They can't prosecute for lack of payment in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
When you take a post-dated check, which is what happens in these situations, the Ohio law is perfectly clear that there's no intent to defraud there. That's what you need for a crime to occur, is intent to defraud somebody. They know when they take the check, the money's not in your account because you wouldn't need the loan in the first place if it were. So there can be no actual criminal prosecution. Now, that was a fight we had many years ago. We haven't seen that problem lately. What we do have from time to time is them threatening criminal prosecution. They'll tell people, we're going to have charges pressed against you for passing bad checks. We're certainly seeing less of that now, but the fact of the matter is it doesn't really matter because they've got your check right there, which they can, you know, deposit in the bank at any time. And what I've seen in my experience are the payday lenders intentionally bouncing people's checks. They can call the bank and find out if the money's in the account or not. They know the money's not there, but they'll submit the check 1, 2, 3 times so that the person comes in and pays off the loans, that they'll stop getting all these non-sufficient fund fees on their checking account. I mean, it's quite common for someone to come into me and tell me I had to close my checking account and I can't open a new one because of all the payday lenders bouncing all the checks at once.
Well, I think, if you look at the customers who use our product, if you look at the state information about complaints. I mean, you know, if you look back since 2005, I think there have been 20 complaints filed against our company. That's out of hundreds of thousands of transactions. So somebody's liking this product, and it's the consumers who use it on a day-to-day or on a basis when they have a day-to-day need to help them get through that short-term financial situation. And you know, the threatening of criminal prosecution, all that stuff, that is not what our company does. And I think if it exists in Ohio, and if Mr. DiNardo and his folks are seeing this, you know, then it's important to make sure there's a distinction between the products and services that companies like ours make and products and services that other companies in Ohio offer, because I think there is a distinction. And by painting the entire industry with the same broad brush, I think is unfortunate, because all it does is attempting to drive away an option for consumers that they like.
Yeah, and they all use the same defective product. I mean, there's no difference between the product that they all offer. It's all defective. It all forces people into this debt trap.
Go on.
What I would say is there were some statistics when we were talking about House Bill 545, and we thought that the average consumer, based on the study that Policy Matters did, I think took out between 9 and 10 loans a year. That's just the average consumer who uses payday loans. The industry, I think, said the statistic was 8 or 9 times a year. You know, we'll take their statistics. I mean, that means that the people who are using this on a monthly basis, you know, or almost a monthly basis. That shows that this is not a one-time emergency fix, but it's credit that people have to keep taking out over and over again because they get stuck with this single payment loan.
Well, again, you have to look at the marketplace. I mean, if the average consumer who does use our product between, you know, 7 and 8 times a year You know, by contrast, the average consumer who writes a bad check, if you write one bad check, you're going to write, you know, 13 to 14 in a year. So, again, when you compare the cost of the options that are available to consumers in the marketplace, you have to look at the whole plate. You can't just pick dessert and go.
Jamie, when you're talking about people who take out loans 8 to 9 times a year, do you have a sense for how many of those people are doing that to pay back loans?
No, I think what the consumers who use our product do is they're paying their rent, they're paying their mortgage, they're paying their utility bill, they're paying for an unexpected health care expense. You know, these are things that hardworking middle-income Americans have happened to them during the course of the year that they may not sometimes have budgeted for, or they may have not budgeted for the car that they use to get back and forth to work breaking down.
Okay.
But you don't know about
how many people are taking out the loans because they have to pay back another loan. That chain reaction that Nick's talking about.
Well, look, there's no question that there are a small number of consumers, like any other financial product out there, that get into a situation where they don't use the product responsibly.
That's not good for the
companies that are offering the product, and that's certainly not good for the consumer. And I think that's why a company like ours has always stood for reasonable regulations, like the law I talked about in South Carolina, where you had a balance. You had protections in place for those folks who got in over their head, but you also allow their continued access for the overwhelming number of folks who used it responsibly. That's what we've got to have here, is a balanced approach to making sure that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, that we provide continued access to consumers for credit that meets their needs and is affordable without putting someone in a situation where they're not being treated fairly.
Okay. Yeah.
8 to 9 was the average. Okay, this is not a small number of people. This is everyone who uses this product. It's a defective product from the start. Now, your caller talked about the person who had to take out the same loan over and over again for a year. So on their $500 loan over the course of a year, that person paid $1,800 in fees. This is not affordable. This is completely unaffordable. None of this is advertised on the front end. People don't realize that they're going to be stuck taking out the same loan week after week, month after month.
That's what
happens with this product.
You know, and before the show started, right before the show, your newsreader talked about a doctor in Columbus that had $500,000 in student loans. And she was talking about the fact that she couldn't get out of these student loans because the terms were tricky. She didn't understand them. The payments were inconvenient. All these things. And they're talking about $500,000. The consumers who use our product are borrowing $500.
Oh, come on.
And they do it because they see this as an option that helps them avoid having higher credit card balances or paying all these other more costly fee-based products.
Okay. Let's take an email. If you would like to email us, go to allsides@wosu.org. An email from Chris. Looks like Chris opposes regulation. He writes, "What about the responsibility of consumers? Continued government involvement in issues like this perpetuates, quote-unquote, dumb consumers who just need to figure out a way to run their budgets without the use of short-term loans." Nick, what about that? You mentioned briefly, we talked about the South Carolina laws. What do you do about that market? Particularly, Jamie brought up the issue of health care. I mean, there's no health care reform on the horizon. People are still going to get socked with huge bills that they can't afford suddenly, or the car breaks down, or whatever it might be.
Well, you'd be better off going to that doctor and working out a payment plan, because doctors will work out payment plans, but payday lenders won't.
So that's not true.
Well, it's true. I see this every day. They will not work out repayment plans with people who get behind on these loans. But my entire point here is, they could offer a product that might meet that need and still be responsible. The payday lenders choose not to do that because of how wildly profitable making payday loans are. When you're making 400% loans, you make a lot of money. They don't want to offer another product that might be more responsible and not defective because they can't make the kind of profits they're making now. Now, I think there is definitely a need for consumer education. But just because there's a problem with health care or a problem with the unfair fees that credit cards are charging does not mean that payday loans are suddenly okay. There's problems with all these things. They all need to be fixed.
You know, the customer who uses our product, I think we're sort of assuming these are customers who can't help themselves. The customer who uses our product, first of all, they all have a job. They all have an active open bank account. About 90% of our customers have a high school education. about the average household income, and we're seeing it increase dramatically from year to year. But the average household income now is about $50,000.
But still,
and
but
about
still,
25 or 20% of our customers make about $75,000 or greater.
But
and
Jamie,
so
what,
these are people that are smart enough to make their own decisions.
But when you say that going to a payday lender store is sort of a last resort for a lot of people, it's not something you would do as a first resort.
Well, first of all, I think the shift in our customer demographics is a reflection of the fact that more and more Americans are realizing that this is a cost-competitive, transparent, and simple option for them. But I think, you know, to assume that the payday loan company is the last option for some consumers, that may be exactly right. But, you know, many customers may have a family member they can turn to. They may have a church they can turn to. They may have, or may prefer one of the other options that I mentioned. I mean, this is not about me deciding what's best for every consumer in every situation. This is about allowing a product to continue to exist that has met the needs of millions of consumers in Ohio over this the past 10, 15 years and across this country, and letting them decide.
Nick?
Well, let me be clear. I mean, I'm not saying that consumers are not smart here. I think that's not the issue. The issue here is that this is a product that will trap them. That you don't see this up front. When you take out your first loan, you're not thinking ahead to that 2 weeks going forward when your next paycheck is going to come due, and repaying this loan is going to take your entire paycheck. You're thinking about, oh, my gosh, I have to deal with this immediate need I have right now. And so that's the whole issue here, is that it's going to trap people into this cycle of debt. They're going to have to take out another loan when they come up short, when they have to pay off the loan at the next paycheck. It's not that people aren't making good choices. It's that they're not aware of how this product is designed to work when they take out the first loan, and they don't realize it until they get trapped down the road and realize they have to take out the same loan every month to cover that deduction from their paycheck.
Jamie, you like the new regulations in South Carolina. Why aren't they something that the industry just embraces on its own, or that your company embraces on its own? Why do you need a law?
Well, I mean, we only operate in areas where there is a regulated environment. We think that's good for the consumers. It certainly it provides protection for the company that's offering the product in terms of a company making an investment in a state where there may not be a law under which to operate. And so, we would be more than willing to work with legislators in Ohio to try to come up with a solution that allows the industry to continue to operate, but balances the protections for consumers. I mean, that's been our mantra for some time now, and I think I think that's what works best for consumers in the marketplace. But I hear all this talk about our excessive profits and all this stuff. We're a publicly traded company, and for the year 2009, we just reported our earnings numbers, and we operated at about an 8.4% profit margin. That's after all the costs go into providing the profit. We got about an 8.4% profit margin. And believe me, in today's environment, I'm not complaining about 8.4%.
I was going to say, but any profit is...
Any profit's great, but it dwarfs in comparison to other financial institutions, even in today's market. It even dwarfs in comparison to McDonald's profit margins. So, when critics talk about these wild profits that we're making, I think they do so to mislead. But the fact of the matter is that any profits we do make is based on the fact that satisfied consumers use this product every day across this country.
Or consumers get trapped and have to continually take out your loans to pay back the money.
Look, if you treated customers in any business as poorly as Mr. DiNardo is
That's
trying
not true.
To convince you
don't,
that,
don't
that I am,
me. Stick with the
that
issue.
We
don't
do,
attack me. Stick
no
with
business
the issue.
Would no business would
okay.
have any business.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. About anywhere from a third to a half of the payday lending storefronts shut down in Ohio since the passage, for what it was worth, of House Bill 545 on the ballot. Why did some shut down and others survive? Why can't – because they're owned by the same companies. They shut down some of the stores and kept others open. Why can't you keep them all open with these new licensing options?
Well, because the products and services that we're offering in Ohio are far less expensive. We've done, for our company's perspective, we've closed a number of centers to try to consolidate and reduce cost. And, and, and maintain a sustainable business model. Unfortunately, there, you know, the end result is you end up losing a lot of good people who've worked really hard for you, that for no fault of their own have been legislated out of business. And I think we can't lose sight of that fact. And we as an industry have no issue with regulation. We just don't want to be regulated out of business. And you talk about the lenders that have closed. There's 800 storefronts. That's about $65 million in tax revenue annually for Ohio. It's about 2,500 jobs. When you have an unemployment rate of 10.5%, and you're legislating out 2,500 jobs and possibly another 2,500 more, I mean, I think that just doesn't make a lot of sense. And
it's not about jobs. This is about a defective
product. It is if it's your job.
Talk about
it is, Mr. DiNardo, if it's your job that's being legislated out.
Well, absolutely,
jobs.
So if we made drug dealing illegal and a bunch of drug dealers lost their jobs, that's not a bad thing, okay? Let's make a product here that is a worthwhile product.
You know, you lose sight of the fact this is a regulated product that has been on the books for many, many years under a specific statute that has been approved by a regulator. I mean, to compare that to drug dealing is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
I think it shows how out of touch these arguments are with the reality that consumers are facing every day.
Well, the product that two-thirds of Ohioans said was inappropriate last year. You guys spent $19 million in Ohio on your campaign, and you lost 2-1. The people of Ohio have spoken about this product. They have said that it is bad.
I want to take another
call.
The
people of Ohio have not spoken in terms of, they've spoken in terms of House Bill 545. They have not spoken in terms of access to short-term credit for middle-income consumers.
Okay.
In fact, every day, consumers who walk in our door speak very clearly about that, and they vote very much in favor of it.
Thank you, Jamie. We have a caller from Delaware. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. I just, maybe I misunderstood, but one of your guests said that the people who are taking these loans out, they're making anywhere from $50,000 to $70,000 a year. Is that correct?
Well, what I said was, sir, that in our reported statistics, the average household income of a consumer who uses our product is $50,000 a year, and 20% of the customers who use our product make up to $75,000.
Sir, if I was making that kind of money, I can go to any bank, or any other institution where I won't have to pay the exorbitant interest rates you charge. I'm sorry. I think you need to go back and check your statistics.
Well, I feel very confident in our statistics, sir.
Well, would you like to show me your statistics?
Okay.
I would encourage you to look at our annually and quarterly filings that we submit to the Securities and Exchange Commission every quarter and every year.
Okay. Thanks, caller from Delaware. We have to call it off a little early today. I want to thank everybody who's called, and I haven't gotten to them. Also, my emailers, thank you for emailing. Sorry I couldn't get to them. Thank you, Nick DiNardo of the Legal Aid Society in Cincinnati. Appreciate you joining the show today.
My pleasure.
And also Jamie Fulmer, Public Affairs Director for Advance America. Thanks, Jamie. I enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much, Anne. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, this is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.